briefly speak for a few minutes about the parshios that we just read. Hopefully we'll reinstitute the Monday morning or Monday 12:30 slot. We just finished reading some of parshios in Shemos, beginning from Truma and going all the way till the end of Pekudei. About the beginning, about the concept of building a Mishkan, purpose of which, of course, as the Psukim, the beginning of Truma, tell us, is the ultimate purpose is V'shachanti B'socham. Also, L'mikdash V'shachanti B'socham. The goal of Also, L'mikdash V'shachanti B'socham is a goal with which we can all identify. It's the reason for our very purpose. It's the raison d'etre of mankind in general, and definitely of the halachic community, of Klal Yisrael and of the halachic community. But the idea that there can be such a thing, that there can be a place in which the presence of the Shekhinah is felt or is impacted in a way that is different from any other place, is of course an idea which is very challenging, very difficult for us to understand. In one respect, not so much more difficult than understanding of the creation of the world, except there's one huge difference, and that is that the creation of the world is something which was initiated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it was done by him. So even though we have to grapple with the concept and the implications of Tzimtzum, of how it could be that we could say Kadosh, 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 Melo, and still say Melocha La'aretz Kivodo, that we could say Ein Atar Panui Minei, Hashem Mekomo Shel Olam Ve'Ein Olam Mekomo, that's a very difficult a dialectic to assimilate. But in the end of the day, at least we can sit back and say, well, it's not really our problem. It's a problem of understanding, but it's not really a problem of our own initiative, at least. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Shabbos is Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis, that tremendous feat, not only because creating the universe is quite an accomplishment, but the greater accomplishment, even, is the ability of the Ein Sof, if you will, or Kadosh Baruch Hu, as we understand or don't understand, to be mitzdamtzem in a real world. That's even more impressive than the bria itself. But I say that's not for us to figure out so much, because it's something we can stand back and appreciate with a sense of awe and reverence and so on. But when it comes to the Mishkan, basically Klal Yisrael are given the task of putting together the Mishkan, of constructing the Mishkan. And that makes it, in one respect, even more difficult. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu can create the mechanism of his own tzimtzum, that doesn't mean that we can have a hand in creating a meaningful place, makom, finite place, in which his presence is felt more acutely than other places. So it's a huge chiddush. When Klal Yisrael was given this tzibui of the Yikchu li Truma me'ez Kalish asher yudvenu libo, for the purpose of the Asa li Mikdash v'shachanti b'socha. And yet, it's something that we should try to understand a little bit. It's interesting that when you get to the end of the Parshios, which we just read this Shabbos, so when it's all said and done, and you have all of the overlapping versions of how the Mishkan is to be created, we'll get to that in a second, all the different orders and different components and the different formulations of the same component in different contexts. So when it's all finished and well and done, and it's really put up Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is imminent, right? Tonight is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. By Dabar Hashem Moshe Lemar, B'yom HaKodesh HaRishon, Be'echad LaChodesh, Takim Es HaMishkan Oel Moed, V'samta Sham Eis Aron Ha'edus, V'sakos Al Aretz, V'sa Paroches, Al Aron V'sa Paroches, So you have all the Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshes. That's really the end of the Parsha. And when it's all said and done, the final words are Vaychas Ha'anan Es Ol Moed U'Kvod Hashem Maleis HaMishkan. The goal is attained, and the presence or the Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests on the Mishkan. But then we're told, V'lo yachol Moshe lavo el ohel moed ki shachan alav he'anan u'kvod Hashem maleis ha-mishkan. So when it's all said and done, it seems like this is going to be a place which will give Klal Yisrael greater access to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, according to the Pshuto Shomikra, that's not what happens at all. In the end of the process, a place is created which does have this special stature, Mishkan. And even Moshe Rabbeinu, the Don HaNeviim, right, who is described in such beautiful terms in the end of Devarim and elsewhere, as being, you know, the single, having the greatest access of any single individual in all of history. He too is barred. V'layochal Moshe lavo el moed ki shachan alav he'anan u'kvod Hashem maleis ha-mishkan. And then we're left with the discussion of the Mefarshim, originally Chazal, in the Midrashim, and then the various Mefarshim. How does this square with the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the medium of the Mishkan? And there are different models to explain that as well. And Rashi discusses the problem. Silo Ka'anon was necessary as a matir for Knisas Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Kosov Ashlishi HaMachriya Beinehem. The Rashbam distinguishes between the initial moment when the Mishkan is completed. It's at that moment that we read that Moshe was unable lavo ol moed ki shachan alav he'anan u'kvod Hashem maleis ha-mishkan. But after that, somehow the Shechina was mitstamtzem even further to Bein Abadim, Bein Akruvim, and Moshe Rabbeinu is given entry. The Ramban has different perspectives as well. According to the Ramban, Moshe Rabbeinu required special reshus. That's what this pasuk means. Or indeed, he really stood more on the outside in the Pesach. Or he was able to come in, like the Rashbam's view. There are different explanations. How could Moshe Rabbeinu communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And again, you have the full range, whether or not it remained a place in which there was very little access, and the access was really from the outside, or almost complete access was given, although initially or based on special matir of Rishus or Sila Ka'anan, etc. What's fascinating is that even as we have this one element, the idea that the Makom HaShechina is still completely inaccessible, at the very same time, the Psukim tell us, U'behalos ha'anan me'al ha'mishkan yisu b'nei Yisrael b'chol ma'aseihem, v'imlo ya'alah ha'anan v'lo yisu ad yom he'aloso, ki anan Hashem al ha'mishkan yomam v'eshti alai labo, le'enei kol beis Yisrael b'chol ma'aseihem. You have, on the one hand, the question of access, and at the same time, even as the Pashtus, simple reading of the psukim is that there's no access. Again, it's only based on other psukim and the Machriya Benehem that we come to these solutions of Rishus or Siluka Anon, or standing on the outside, or the initial moment as opposed to later. But the Pshuto Shel Mikra is there's no access. Even as we're told there's no access, we're also told that the Mishkan plays the crucial role in leading Klal Yisrael. And that this is evident not only to the, to the elite, to the Bnei Aliyah spiritually of Klal Yisrael, but le'enei kol beis Yisrael b'chol ma'aseihem. This is something that applies to all of Klal Yisrael. Every single member of Klal Yisrael is aware of this b'chol ma'aseihem in all of their travels. So on the one hand, complete inaccessibility or near complete inaccessibility. On the other hand, tremendous impact. The impression that we get is V'shachanti b'socham is accomplished even without access. V'shachanti b'socham is accomplished merely by the presence of the Rabbono Shel Olam in the midst of Klal Yisrael, even if it hasn't really increased access, but it has transformed still the relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So before we get to this last point of achieving or attaining this dialectic, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still remains inaccessible, ineffable, removed from us, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. But we've accomplished a great deal in that Le'enei Kol Beis Yisrael B'chol Ma'aseihem, the factor of leadership is felt more strongly. Before we get to that, we have a bunch of parshios from the goal of V'shachanti B'socham till the end. What do these parshios teach us about this problem, this quandary? They don't teach us very much about the philosophical part of the problem, namely, how can anything physical contain HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and certainly how can human initiative play a role in even accentuating HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. We're not really told how that problem is solved, but what we are told is at least some of the ingredients that go into the creating of the Mishkan, which has this dual impact. I just want to mention one or two of them, because I think that again, classically, Chazal understood the Mishkan not only as the Mishkan, but number one, the idea of Mikdash Ma'at is very much connected to the Mishkan and the Mikdash. And when we think of the structures that we build and that we relate to in our own Avodas Hashem, whether it's the Beis HaKnesses or the Beis HaMedrash, or other structures, but primarily those. So what are the ingredients that go into, what are the components that allow for a kind of Hashras Hashkina, that a meaningful Hashras Hashkina, which may not give us greater access in a more direct way, but at least which establish a kind of presence that gives us guidance and inspires us, not only, again, the elite among us, but Kol Beis Yisrael, Lemaseihem. I think it's fair to say that whatever the ingredients and components are that went into the original Mishkan, that these are relevant to building any kind of Mikdash Ba'at, any Avodas Hashem as well. Moreover, even aside from Mekomos of Mikdash Ma'at, these are the ingredients, obviously, that allow for a more effective Avodas Hashem, and therefore just putting our, I guess, identifying them, delineating them in any little way is something which maybe can help us in our own course, each and every one of us, our course of Avodas Hashem. As I said, the goal for each and every one of us is the same goal that Klal Yisrael tackled at that time, v'asuli mikdash v'shakanti v'socham. I think one can put one's finger on several points, just very briefly. The first is, at the beginning of these parshios, and I think you have to look at them as a unit, from Truma till the end, the first thing that we're told is, v'yikhu li Truma, me'es kol ish asher yidvenu libo, tikhu es Trumasi. V'yikhu li Truma is a plural, and it sounds like a chiyuv. Me'ez kol ish asher yidvenu libo, tikhu es Trumasi, refers to each individual, and here we speak about nedivus, and in particular nedivus leiv. Some of the Mefarshim already note that there may have been a chiyuv for Klal Yisrael to come up with all the materials and to engage in the process, but this chiyuv was pursued in an interesting way, namely, from the totality, from the collective, from the aggregate of Klal Yisrael, there has to be Truma. But the way to do that is not to impose, not to force any individual, but to do it in a way which operates based on the Nedivus Leiv. So it's V'yikhuli, but the individual contributions are all based on kol nediv lev. What is nediv lev? So this again is a discussion among the Mefarshim, which we're not going to go into now, but I would just say, in general terms, it doesn't just mean that the person was not coerced. Nedivus lev, as opposed to just nedivus, implies a certain attitude, a certain orientation. Generosity of heart or generosity of spirit isn't just generosity. And what I mean by that is not just the difference between, you know, lishma and shelo lishma, having ulterior motivations. What I mean is, in the diva slave, a certain perspective which sees the task not as a burden, not even as a necessary obligation, not merely as an opportunity to accomplish certain goals, but as really an opportunity, a merit opportunity. In other words, kol nediv lev doesn't just mean that you donate and that you donate generously and willingly. It means that you perceive this as an opportunity to be capitalized upon. Like Moshe l'mad over dome, again, when Esav lost his bechora to Yaakov, so Chazal tell us, you know, vayivez Esav es ha-bechora. And again, Chazal quoted already by Rashi, hinei anochi alech lamus v'lama ze li bechora. So Chazal say that he looked, you know, to the future, and he found out that you know, that a kohen who is oved, or a bechor who is oved b'mikdash, so he potentially could end up with a chi of misa if you do it improperly. And he said, "Hinei anochi alech lamus lama ze li bechora." In addition to the pshat, where he said, "What do I need all this for? I'm not going to be able to enjoy it anyway." But the Medrash is saying, basically, he was commenting, and that's what Vayivez Esav es ha-Bechora was. He was basically saying, you know, this is not something that it's difficult for me to part with, because it's a burden, and it has all sorts of pitfalls. It's a mikshol. And as such, you know, if I can get a bowl of soup out of it, you know, matov, I might want to give it away even for less. So, and certainly if he ne'anochi ayef, so that's Vayivez Esav es ha-Bechora, and that's how I always understood, even though Yaakov is the Ishtam Yoshe V'Holim, basically it's totally against his grain and nature to exploit an opportunity like this. But that's why Vayivez Esav es ha-Bechora is so important. What Chazal understood by this is that, you know, Yaakov you know, was just shocked and horrified, you know, that Esav would characterize the opportunity of Avodas Hashem in the Mikdash as Hinei Anochi Alech Lamus, and that he would be so insensitive as to not realize that the reason that there's a Chi of Misa is because the stakes are so high, because the opportunities are so great. After all, it's a place in which the Shechina rests, whatever that means, in a more acute way than other places. The Avoda is fraught with danger, because the Avoda is a way of having access to a Kadosh Baruch Hu to the extent that is physically possible. And therefore, Vayivas as a Bechora more than justified the actions of Yaakov Avinu. They weren't the actions of Vayakveni Zeh Pamayim, as Esav later accused him, but on the contrary, they were consistent with his being an Ishtam Yoshev Ahalim, somebody whose understanding was very deep and very profound, and very basic, person who is not only going to be a Yoshev Oholim, but a Meyashev Oholim, as Chazal understood. This is the kind of Nedivah slave. Two people can see the same opportunity, or the same course. One can see it as a precious opportunity to be pounced upon, and the other can see it as, you know, with great reticence, as, you know, as containing all sorts of dangers, as a burden. The Nedivah slave, then, is the approach of Yaakov Avinu, of Yoshev Ahalim. It's the approach which guarantees that indeed there will be Hashra'as Hashchina. The second one, closely related, is the idea of Lishma. It's very fascinating that, especially in the beginning of these parshios, that Chazal and the Rishonim, in particular, V'yikchu li, Truma l'shma, the Rashi already mentions it right at the beginning. Chazal stressed this again and again with regard to different kelim. The Ramban in particular accents this idea of l'shma in the building of the Mishkan and in particular kelim. Ramban says it wasn't enough that the l'shma should extend to particular actions that they were involved in. It was necessary for the various people involved in the Mishkan to know the totality of the avoda and to have a posture of l'shma on all of it. Namely, when it comes to avodas Hashem, and if you really want to achieve the lofty goal of the Shachanti B'socham, of finding a physical way in which to have a presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we have to overcome the normal physical tendency or the tendency associated with physical tasks, and that is that there be ulterior motives, multiple motives. When it comes to the building of the Mishkan, Nedivus Lev is the first step. The second step is Lishma, to purge one's practical side, as it were. To focus solely on the task and for its own sake. The third, of course, is consistent with this, and that is the actual method of implementation. And that's what we have Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, particularly, again, as the culmination of the Parsha. Much has been said about the amount of the Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, but again, it's just very fascinating that especially it's concentrated in Pikudei at the very end. Vayas Moshe k'kol asher tzivo, so kein asa, and then every rendition, Vahi b'chodesh arishon, b'shana hashenis, b'chod achodesh, hukam hamishkan, and we're told of this, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, and Pasuk Yates, and then again, in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, it's a refrain, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, Pasuk Chaf Hei, again, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, and again in Pasuk Chav Zayin, and again in Pasuk Chav Tes, every two psukim, basically the end of Pasuk Lamed Beis, three psukim later, every three psukim practically, two or three psukim, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, that's the crescendo. It's not only there, and much has been said about it, but in the end, after all of the instructions and all the avoda, it's critical that it be Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, which means that this kind of task, which seems beyond human endeavor, it's even beyond our understanding, our intellectual grasp, the only way that it can be accomplished is through Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. In a way, that too is part of the Matir, and it's no coincidence that even after the Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshes have all been elaborated, that leads into the next psukim, as we just discussed, Vayichal Moshe es ha-malacha, Vayichas ha-anon es ha-oel, u'kvod Hashem malei es ha-mishkan. That's finally what brings about the stated goal. And even then, V'lo yachol Moshe lavo al moed, kishachan olav ha-anon, u'kvod Hashem malei es ha-mishkan. These are the psukim that follow immediately this repeated emphasis of Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe. You need Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe, because even Moshe Rabbeinu will not have full access to the Ohel Moed, and you need Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe so that there will be some access, moreover, so that there will be Le'enei Kol Beis Yisrael B'chol Ma'aseihem. Without the Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, with great scrutiny and great fidelity, you don't get either of these components in the final result. For this reason, both because of the Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe and the need for the leadership of Nedivus Lev and Lishma, and an understanding of how all the different interlocking parts fit in, each part is significant in its own right and also as part of the overall. That's the way you have to relate to details which will bring about Hashruas Hashchina. So that you need also the leadership of a Moshe Rabbeinu and of a Bezalel. Again, in the end of the process, we're told, even though many people are involved, the Kuli Truma Kol ish asher nadav libo, that's how it begins. But in the end, it's Vaychal Moshe es hamalacha, which Chazal speak about at length, why credit is given to Moshe Rabbeinu. And earlier, Pasuk Perek Lamed Ches, Pasuk Chavbeis, we're told something similar about Bezalel. Bezalel ben Uri ben Chur lemata Yehuda, also es kol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Here too, we're told that that there was a special impact of Bezalel on the process, and earlier as well in Lamed Zayin Pasuk Aleph, we're told. We'll stop in just a minute. Vayasas mizbeach ha'ola atzeshitim. This is all Bezalel, and again Chazal tell us. Rashi quotes it here. Medrash actually has a much longer elaboration of it, that Bezalel is given the opportunity to build the Mizbeach because of the Mesiras Nefesh and leadership that he shows throughout. Bezalel's leadership, according to Chazal, is because Malei Tukim, Malei Chachma Tvuna Vadas, which Chazal interpret to mean his Chachma Satorah, his Yiras Shemayim, etc. In other words, any process which is going to conclude with V'shachanti V'socham is a process which has to be led by Talmidei Chachamim, people who have already established and continue to reflect the values of total commitment to the Mesorah, to Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, who exemplify in their own lives Lishma and the Divo Slave. Such people can bring the Shechina into a physical place. Such Shechina can bring the Shechina into a place which impacts on Kol Beis Yisrael L'chol Maaseihem. But if you don't have that leadership, then indeed you won't have that result either. Chazal tell us that there are many discussions about the details of the Mishnah and different attitudes and perspectives in its building. The pasuk, you know, which the Nesiim are described without the vav, is one of the more famous ones. Vav was taken away from the, without the yud. The yud was taken away from the word Nesiim because Nesiim displayed a kind of lackadaisical attitude towards the whole process, seeing it as more of a pragmatic one. But they said, you know, we'll cover the budget, you know, but we're not necessarily going to take the lead. Let everybody else take the lead, and we'll make sure that nothing is missing. Since the Torah said, "Vamalacha isadayim," and they missed out in terms of their role, so they learned from this, and when it came to the next opportunity, Chanukas HaMizbeach, right, they knew better, they knew to volunteer and to be in the forefront. Now, this criticism of the Nesiim for seeing the process of the Mishkan in a more pragmatic way, to get the job done rather than to see the process itself as an inherently valuable and intrinsically Kedusha-oriented one, is one in which there's criticism. Likewise, the debate between Moshe and Bezalel, recorded in the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Nunhei, and also, again, one version of it in Rashi, there are all sorts of versions of this story. What comes first, the Kelim or the Bayis, and the role of Benoheg Shabaolam, to what extent do regular, the building of regular structures impact on the building which is going to house, in some sense, B'shachanti B'socham, the Shechina. One could look at these issues and arguments as being very relevant to the process as well. There cannot be a result of Kedusha, B'shachanti B'socham, unless the process itself reflects Kedusha. And that was the mistake of the Nesiim. That was partly the discussion of Moshe Rabbeinu and Bezalel. Ki Bezalel Kel Ha'isa, when Moshe Rabbeinu hears the argument of Bezalel, he immediately responds by saying, you know, that's exactly what the Rabbeinu Shalom told me. I just initially wasn't sensitive enough to hear it. I translated it in a different way. But, you know, your instinct in this case is the proper instinct, and that's what the Pesukim mean when they say Again, getting back to Lamed Ches Chav Beis, that's what the pasuk means. Ubitzal ben Uri ben Chur lematay Yehuda asa es kol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Bezalel was mekaben to what Moshe was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This idea of intuition, spiritual intuition, playing a crucial role in the building of the Mishkan is something which reflects again the idea that the building of the Mishkan itself is a process which yields a certain result. You don't get that result unless you follow the process painstakingly and properly. And in this sense, it's Yavo Zahav HaMishkan V'Yechaper Al Zahav Ha'Egel, without going into detail, but obviously Parshas Kisisa and the Egel, which interrupts the building of the Mishkan, highlights the dangers of what happens when you look to a goal, you know, without Kashrut Tziva Hashem as Moshe, certainly, but even without Nedivus Lev, and even without Lishma, and even without the leadership of Moshe and Bezalel. When you skip all these steps, even if your intention still is V'shachanti B'salcham, you end up with an Egel Azav, which isn't just, according to most views in Chazal, or many views in Chazal, and Farshim, is a mistake, not an attempted Avodah Zarah, but is no less severely punished for it. Precisely because when you're dealing with the Davar Shebikdusha, and with stakes like V'shachanti B'salcham, so it's an inexcusable mistake. And it's inexcusable precisely because the goals, the ultimate attainment, caused them to be distracted from the methodology and from the means. And that is completely antithetical to the notion of the Shachanti V'Socha. So just in conclusion, I think there are certain major ingredients that go into the effort to bring a Kodesh Baruch Hu to the concrete, real world. It's important that we realize that even when we accomplish that goal, that we haven't diluted his presence in any way. And on the contrary, even for Moshe Rabbeinu, he remains inaccessible because he is inaccessible and ineffable and omnipotent and omniscient and so on. We shouldn't let our familiarity or our sense of relationship ever mislead us or undermine our sensitivity to that point. At the same time, we should pursue this goal with a sense of confidence that it's one that really can bring greater meaning and greater purpose and greater depth to our Avodas Hashem for every member of Beis Yisrael Lemaaseihem. And the way that we do this is to perfect as much as possible these components that went into the process. The attitude of Nedivus Lev, the motivation of Lishma, the leadership of Kashrut Tziva Hashem as Moshe, and the leadership of a Moshe and of a Bezalel as well. I'd say we bring, I think, this approach to our shuls and to our schools and to other structures of Avodas Hashem that we should be involved in. And it challenges us, I think, to try to figure out, you know, when something is only a means and when it is the end, or when we treat it as the attainment or the method of achieving the end. How bureaucratic and how structural, you know, should our institutions be? You know, how low plug and, you know, how much focus on the building, as opposed to the actual living and davening and learning, the substantive parts of what we do in those buildings and in those structures. And that, I think, constitutes a constant challenge, and maybe one which we'll continue to speak about next week. Okay. Sorry, we're taking a little while.
Do you think that the Bezalel and Moshe Rabbeinu relationship is perhaps can be the prototype deal that we have today as far as the rabbi lay leadership?
Well, I don't think Bezalel was a lay leader.
Right.
He was Mole, Bechakma, Betuno, Bedas. But in the sense that one should be open to hearing what other people think, because sometimes